My name is Jim. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jim.
Very glad to be here today, sober. And hey, I haven't been to a convention for a long time. There's a bit of trivia for you. And they had the World Convention in Seattle in when did I come here? In 1990. And they had this opening ceremony in the Kingdom in Seattle, where they had 50,000 alcoholics in this auditorium, and they had people. They announced the countries, and they had people carrying the banners, the various flags of the countries. And I carried Australia's flag that day. There you go, fame. Yeah, I thought it's me. Yeah, there's a bit of a danger actually giving me a microphone because I like the sound of my voice. How long am I supposed to talk for? 20 minutes?
20 minutes.
Half a day? Anyway, the third step, for me probably the important thing about this thing for is the business about as we understood them. And I always think that's an important thing to write. That's booey. Always, I think it's an important thing to talk about. That I've always took that to be an all-inclusive thing. That the idea is not to separate who believes in this and who believes in that, but it's to get everybody together. I've never really thought it in terms of we understand God. I've never thought of that at all. I come from being Scottish. I come from a country where religion plays a big part in people's lives. It's the main reason why you get together on a Saturday and you go and belt somebody else is your religion. And I was brought up what we called Catholic, because Catholics go to church and Protestants don't. And I've never really worked out how all that works, but that's how it runs over there. And you support different football teams. And basically, you want to kill the other side. And stuff, and and religion is a very, very divisive thing there. And it's always, when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I came with that sort of history of bigotry and really cockeyed way of looking at things. I used to blame the Catholic Church for a lot of my thinking on the matter, but the longer I've been sober, the more I've realized that my thinking is a bit funny in other areas as well, so it might not be all them. There might be some of me and all of that. But when I came here and I had to tackle this step, I remember very clearly going to my sponsor, and I, to this day I think the guy should have been given a medal. Because I looked at him in all sincerity and I says, "Do you know, Paul, I think I've got a problem with ego." And he didn't laugh. I did, to this day. I just don't know how he managed to keep a straight face with that. You know, it was just such an absurd statement. You know, a little problem with ego. But, I had the sort of difficulties that a lot of people have with this this business. And, as people say, here, you know, the important thing for me was to find out that whatever a higher power was, it's not me. And, because that was how I ran my life, and that was how I went about things. I mean, I would characterize my drinking as me continually drinking, waiting for the laws of physics to change. You know, eventually the world was going to catch up and leave me alone so that I could drink like 10 men and just not have the consequences that you get from that. Somebody was going to realize these rules are wrong and stop it, you know. And that was how I tackled drinking, and that was how I tackled life. As the book calls it, self-well-run riot. And, consequently, when I came here, I had problems with this this business of a power greater than myself. As I said, I had a lot of issues with the word God. And all that kind of stuff, but more than anything, what I had issues with was that maybe the world wasn't set up for me, you know, and that was what that was what I wanted. I wanted life to be set up for me. I mean, I'm better today, but you know, I'm one of those people that when he gets in his car thinks that there should be an all-out alert. Jim's going to work. He's late. Get out the way, you know. Turn all the lights green and get out the way. That should be the most important thing that happens in Melbourne when I get in my car. You know, get out the way. I've tackled life like that. And as we were talking about this morning, and by the way, those who haven't been to St. Bart's yet, you've no idea what you're missing. Best group in the whole world. And if you don't think that about your home group, change. But that's my home group, and I'm really glad. But we were talking about that business of sanity and doing the same thing, you know, and expecting a different result. And that's how I've tackled my whole life, and just, you know, wanted the world to change and suit me. And the fact that it never has, you know, never in any morning has the all-out alert gone that Jim's late, you know. I mean, the idea that I should get up earlier, just never, you know. What? Okay, she get up early. No, you know. That was how I tackled life and stuff. I ended up here. You know, that was the thing of it, was I ended up here. When I started working, I worked for a company that was a really big company. Called General Electric Company in England, and they were so big at that time that they had £1 billion in the bank, and they wouldn't the Monopolies Commission wouldn't let them buy anything else. They were that big, and they had this like this mega company, and then all these different companies that was all around. And way at the bottom here was me, right? You know, but I know how to run it, right? And and my boss used to say to me, you know, if you're so smart, how come you're not rich? And because nobody listens, you know. I just didn't get it. And of course, when I come here to Alcoholics Anonymous, my sponsor used to say, you know, if you're so smart, how come you're here? You know, it wasn't my plan, it wasn't my design, at all. But you know, here I was, you know, and in that place that you know, I couldn't drink anymore. Couldn't do it. I sobered up, hated it, got drunk, hated it, sobered up, hated it, and couldn't live like that anymore. And didn't know how to. Just didn't know how to. I had to look at this stuff and look at this stuff real hard. I knew that really hard to say what was it. It's really hard to put myself back in that mindset now, but what I do know is that at that time, I couldn't tell you what was the right thing to do. I just knew that I was here. I just knew that it wasn't working. That whatever I tried, however, because I mean, I just tried to have a good life, and I tried to, you know, do the things that give you all the sex and the money and the power that a man should have, you know, for free. That was all I wanted to try and do, and it just, you know, obviously, you know, just wasn't working. And I didn't come in here all that good either. I came in here desperate. I came in here sick and tired of being sick and tired and all that kind of stuff. So I really had to have a look at all this stuff. The only God that I could see at that time was kind of like that Catholic God. I really, and it's hard to go into and my ideas over the time have changed, and I think that's really important, because at the time I thought that whatever God you decide you're going to give your will in your life to, that was it, you were stuck with it, which is why I didn't want to do it, because you know the God I believed in was the God of fire and brimstone, and the God of you put your hand up and say I'm here, you're going to get lightning. You know, being full of this low self-esteem and whatnot, I reckoned that, you know, I was going to come here for a little while, God was going to sober me up, and then, you know, get me drunk for some other guy, you know. See? See what happens, you know. That was how I kind of looked at the thing. Pretty negative kind of stuff. But that was the only kind of God I could believe in. And you know, when I being sober for a few months, I still couldn't sleep. And you know, when I would go home at night, sometimes I could put that light off, and sometimes I couldn't put that light off. And I'd be lying there in that just madness. And that was what I could pray to. I couldn't pray to something that I could make up or something like that, but I could pray to that God of whatever it was. So that was what I did. I just did that. I had no other answers or no ideas, and that was what I did. Is this me? 10 minutes remaining. I'm not going to go that long. I hope. That's another thing that helps with the nails. Where was I? Yeah, so I prayed to that God and decided that I would give my will and my life over to that. And the only way that I knew how, which was, you know, we're going to become a martyr. We're going to, you know, go to Africa and feed everybody, you know. Nothing for me, thanks. I'll just, you know, and feed everybody else. All that kind of stuff, you know, Mr. Humility. And, you know, that was the kind of extreme stuff that was in my head. That was the kind of mad person I was. But that was how that was what I saw, and that was what I did. I did that as best as I could, and I made the prayers, and I did the stuff, and kept going. At that convention that I mentioned at the beginning there, I didn't get sober in this country. I got sober in Holland, and I moved to Australia after that. But at this convention, there were some friends of mine, and I decided to meet up with them. This is a long story for no good reason, but I was going to meet up with these friends in Holland. There was a convention, kind of like this, only much, 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 much bigger. And there was a place that a friend of mine was speaking at, and so I was trying to get there to where he was speaking. But because there was that many people, they closed the room, and so I couldn't get in. But at this same complex, there was another meeting. And the meeting was called We Agnostics, after the chapter in the Big Book. Now, don't be thinking that this was a meeting about people who used to be agnostics and had read the Big Book and had changed their mind. It got sort of taken over by these agnostics, which is the funniest thing. It was like gays coming out of the closet. They come to this meeting and where they could... And I really don't mean to make fun of people that are agnostic or anybody, but... These people, you know, I mean, you come to meetings and you say, I am agnostic. It's the dumbest thing in the world, right? Because after that, everybody's going to come up to you. I used to think that too. And I prayed to a higher power. All that conjecture, you just don't do it, right? If you're agnostic, you shut up, you know. Oh, yeah, I believe, you know. But anyway, for whatever reason, they'd had this meeting called We Agnostics, and they just, like, took it over. And it was, you know, I don't believe in God, and I don't care. You know, all that kind of stuff. It was so funny. I mean, it was childish, but it was funny. And, you know, people are leaving in droves. They're, like, you know, offended and everything like that. They're all walking away. Oh, you know, don't sacrilege, you know. It was so funny. But during all this stuff, I'm only sitting there to wait for catch up with some friends, so I'm not really paying attention to it. Just, you know, let them do their thing. And a guy gets up at this meeting and he says something along the lines of that there is no question about God that you can ask, that you can then answer. You know, like no scientific experiment or anything that you can form. And that really changed my thinking about a lot of things. That really just stuck with me like those things do when you hear it at the meeting and you think, oh, I don't want to hear that, and I don't want to think about that. But that thing stuck with me and it just kept eating at me and whatnot. And the more that I thought about those things, the more that I realized, I have no understanding of this God thing. I have no idea how I'm supposed to know what's, you know, right or wrong or good or bad or whatever. You know, I've got a vague idea that drinking's off the list. You know, took a while. But, you know, I've got an idea that that's off the list. But, you know, life isn't as simple as I would like it to be sometimes. You know, I've got children. My kid comes to me, can I have a lolly? What's the answer? Yes? No? I don't know. I don't know what you say to them. You know, this time it's the right answer, that time it's the wrong answer, the same answer. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. And what I've found for the most part is the challenge for me in sobriety or life or whatever, is to try and do good. You know, it's really easy to do harm and hurt people and offend them and that sort of thing. It's really easy for me to damage my children because they're still quite small. But to do good is a much, much harder thing, you know. Much, much harder thing. And that thing that guy said that time got me 5 minutes remaining. I'll just keep me up to date. We are now 5 minutes. It's funny, we at St. Bart's, we try to get through as many people as we can. I would like to do this type of thing at the group, but the rest of the group, and I believe in giving into the group wisdom and stuff, but the group wisdom is against all this kind of thing. There's this kind of taboo about, you know, don't ding people and stuff like that. And but we get through 15, sometimes 20 speakers in a night. And that for me is always just a wonderful thing, because you might not identify with one person or two people, but when 20 people have had a go, there's going to be somebody. There's going to be somebody that you're going to click with and say, yep, I've been there, I've done that. So where was I? Again, I thought I couldn't talk for 20 minutes. Jeez, oh. It's the sound of my voice, you see, the microphone and the, you know, I just love the sound of that. Through that just that thing of listening to when that guy said about, you know, there's no question that I could really, you know, like that. I mean, what I mean by that is, you know, the sort of thing of you stand up in a building and say, if there's a God, he'll save me and jump off. You know, I mean, there's only going to be one result with that kind of thing, and it doesn't prove anything. But that really got me to thinking about stuff, and it got me away from the black and white thing that I had in my head about, you know, this was right and that was wrong, and you know, there's only one way to do it, and, you know, all that sort of thing, because you can end up with that type of thing. You can end up very much alone. It's amazing how everybody else is wrong, and it ends up with just me, just me that's right. Dangerous business. But, that stuff got me thinking about that. In terms of the decision to turn my will and my life over, for the most part, I guess what I have done really is given it over to AA. I come to understand that my judgment, and therefore my judgment about whatever God might be and all that kind of thing, is at best dodgy. I ended up here. I didn't have a sponsor to get here. I didn't come to meetings to get here. I did it all by myself. You know, no help, no tuition, all natural product. You know, so my decision making, at best, is flawed, and so it's always a good idea to check things through other people, to check things through the group, to talk to other members and stuff. And in that sense, I what I have done for the past 19 years is do the AA thing. Not well, by any means, or right or good or whatever, but every week, just keep turning up and keep giving it a go and doing things the AA way, whatever that is. And sometimes my mind changes about that. But that's what I try to do, and give it a go. And because of that, when I go to bed at night, I can turn the light off. I don't even think about it. I just go to bed and turn the light off and go to sleep these days. That's a wonderful thing. My children, which I mentioned earlier, ranges from a boy of 14 to two girls, and my youngest son is 7. They've never seen me drink, which is just a hell of a thing. And, I never could have planned that. I never could have made that happen, you know, and an alcoholic's not understood. And if that's a power working through that thing, that'll do for me. I'm glad to be sober. Thank you.